Time to talk a little Predators hockey here on the show. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here in the game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor and Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. Predators losing last night in Winnipeg. 6-3 was the final. There was an empty net goal at the end. Tomorrow, it will be the Arizona Coyotes back in Smashville, and they will be celebrating game number 1,000 for Ryan O'Reilly, a little ceremony. So make sure you're in your seat right at 7 o'clock for a little bit of a fun acknowledgement. C-Mace, did you get some sleep last night? We got in a little late, so to speak.
I got a little bit, yeah. I'm sure just probably less than you, though. I guess you didn't have to be up too early, but yeah, I got a little bit, but it's good to be home.
Yeah, I was doing some preparation for our radio show today from the bed, let me just tell you. I was staying in there as long as I possibly could. But you've been through this before. See, Mace, when you get home like this, sometimes a lot of coaches get, you know, anxiety about that first home game back when you've been on the road for a while, especially when you get in late. I saw Andrew Brunette did not have let the guys not have practice today to rest up. But I think it's always a tough mental test on a lot of fronts in that situation.
Yeah, I think it is. I think when you're on the road that long, especially it was a tough road trip for the guys in terms of record-wise, but you get home and you kind of just exhale and you decompress. And like I was today, I was like, oh, man, it's so good to be home. But you got to go back to work tomorrow, and these guys got to be, ready to go and prepared to play against a team that's playing pretty good right now. They got a lot of good young players, and they're a hungry group. And, the Predators are too. I think we got to see a little bit what it's like with a team that's kind of going through a rebuild that has a lot of youth on it, on the road trips, some inconsistencies. When you play a team that's playing as well as the Jets are right now, that's a veteran team that's big and really well-oiled. I've got a good core of guys that have been together a long time. Last night was, they got overmatched. And the one thing I do like about this team is you never really have to worry about the work ethic. Even the game against Calgary, where I thought they kind of, it was probably their most disappointing game, as Andrew Brunette said after the game, in terms of they weren't playing well, they're up 2-0 after the first. They weren't playing well, they were still up 2-1 going into the third. So you're sitting there, you play one good period, you have a chance to win a game where you didn't have your best stuff. And that was probably the part where they were most disappointed that they gave that one away. But as a coach and as veterans on the team, this is something that you have to be conscious of and be really aware for that first game back home. But I don't know, for some reason with this group, I feel pretty good about, the effort that we're going to see tomorrow.
Now, C-Mace, what do you think you learned about these young guys and then about the veterans playing with these young guys in this road swing that you guys had? Because it had to be a grueling stretch for the young guys. But sometimes when you have such a young team and the veterans are there to hold everything up, it can be grueling on them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of pressure on the older guys to produce because, as of now, I think there's a lot of, good young players that have a lot of promise and potential. But like when you have a young team like this, I think the biggest thing with a younger group is you're not necessarily going to have the consistency in the details of the game. There's going to be a little more ups and downs, I think, with younger players in terms of not only their offensive production, but the way they defend, staying in the battle, enduring the grind of an NHL season, going into, a lot of these guys are going into buildings they've never played in before. And, they're playing against teams and players they've never played against, superstar guys. So there's going to be a learning curve with this team and the young guys in particular. And that's to your point where you have to rely on the leadership group a lot more, where if the leadership group was on a veteran team, you wouldn't need to, because everybody just knows, kind of like Winnipeg. There's maybe one guy that's kind of, along for the ride. It's a lot easier on the leadership group, but the Predators have a different challenge where there's, half the guys are going through this stuff for the first time. You got a lot of new players, even two players you just picked up on waivers in training camp in the season. So it's a lot more attention to detail and effort for those guys. And you're right, that can be, taxing in itself, because you're having to spend a lot of time making sure that they understand, you know, what's expected of them and how to play the right way, and just, you know, kind of keeping tabs on them. So it's all these challenges to be expected. And I think right now they're in a situation where, you know, they're going to be tested as a group to see what kind of, you know, character and resolve they have, and if they can, you know, get out of the dip that they're in right now.
We have C. Mace on the line. C, what do you think of the play of UC? You can put all the blame on him if you want to, or you can say, hey, listen, he's not all the blame. It's sort of like the quarterback to me. Sometimes they get too much blame and sometimes they get too much praise. But looking at UC, what do you see from him? Where can he get a little bit better moving forward? Because this season, to me, is going to hinge on whether, you know, he's at the top of his game as these young guys start to develop themselves further into the season. Because if he's not, then it's going to be extremely hard for them each and every night.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. That's the guy. You know, he's the guy that's going to be the difference maker for this team, whether they're going to be a fringe, you know, team looking from the outside looking in, or a team that's got a, you know, a chance to make a push and fight for a playoff spot. He's going to be he's the biggest difference maker on the team. There's no question. And I think so far, I think he's been good. I think the league is seeing a lot more goals scored. So if you're looking statistically, the goals against average around the league is a little higher, the save percentage a little lower. Saros has been a perennial slow starter, but this season he's actually started better than he has the last couple. But he still definitely has another level. I mean, we've all seen he's one of the few goalies that once he gets to that, you know, place of dominance, he can stay there for a long time. And it's rare, and that's what separates the good guys from the superstars. And I don't think he's quite at that level yet. Again, there's a lot of different, you know, pieces in front of him, a lot more systematic things that they're all adjusting to. And as a goaltender, you become you know, I guess, reliant on the patterns in front of you. And right now, I think with all the new personnel and the new system in place, it's a different thing every game. And it's going to take time till everybody kind of figures out exactly how they're going to play. And I think that affects the goaltender as well. But I think he's been really good. He's giving them a chance, but I still think he's, you know, he's got that next level that we've all seen that he's not quite at to right now.
Chris Mason is with us. Mace, you know, I think one of the things that's probably the most important thing that I know Predator fans are looking for is big picture, the development of guys like Phil Tomasino and Juuso Parsonen. So Juuso was a healthy scratch last night. Tomasino had been a healthy scratch, got back in there. He scored a goal. A quote jumped out at me. Hal Gill interviewed Tomasino for the pregame show on the radio. And Phil said, look, I want to get that confidence to make the play, to be able to do what I know I can do, or I think I can do, right? And it seems like both of them, who have had big moments in their very short careers, they're both very young, 22 years old, 21 years old, but they doing it every night. I would think your confidence rises and falls a little bit. How do you try to restore that? That's always the ultimate question. I don't know if anybody knows the answer. If they did, the job as a coach or whatever would be a lot easier.
Well, I think the answer, you know, it obviously relies with the player, but the answer is when you're a young player and you get called up for the first time and, you know, you're going on this stretch, you don't know any different. You're just going up there and playing. You're not thinking about it. There's no expectations. You just go out and you're like, you know what? I play hockey. I'm just going to go out there. No one expects me to do anything. You're having fun. You got nothing to lose. And you have that type of attitude, and it's a sense of freedom as a player when you just go out there and just play. You just use your instincts and you play. There's nothing holding you down, weighing you down. But when you come back and you're, you know, the sophomore, I would say the sophomore slump or whatever you want to call it, that's when your brain kicks in and you start thinking, oh, you know, I did this, and is it going to be easy, or is it going to, you know, now you start thinking and you kind of get in your own way a little bit. And once you, you know, start overthinking things, I think that's when you see, you know, guys trying too hard, Tomasino, Parsonen, and maybe that thought process is taken away from their natural instinct and ability. And you get paralyzed by that as a player. And, you know, such a fast game, a split second of indecision, all of a sudden, you know, the puck's on your stick and you look up, you look down, and there's players right in your face. You can't make a play. And that kind of snowballs. So I think the trickiest thing, you know, as a young player is to figure out the mental aspect of the game and to be able to, you know, think a little bit less. I don't mean think about the game, but just about the pressure and about having success. Because I think once you think about the end result, you kind of lose track of all the little things that you have to do on a shift or a play. You're like, oh, I got to score. Well, how do you score? It's about 10, 20 different little things that you have to do prior to that. So that's something as a younger player. I know when I went through my professional hockey career, you learn, it's like any skill. You learn how to do that. You learn how to compartmentalize. You learn how to, turn slumps a bit shorter. So it's a tricky thing, and that's part of growing and the experience, and they're getting good on-the-job experience right now.
Yep, and let's hope it continues. Mace, thanks a lot for the time. Rest up. We'll see you tomorrow.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, Chris Mason will be in the booth tomorrow night, Valley Sports, 7 o'clock for the ceremony for Ryan O'Reilly, celebrating Game 1000, which he hit in Vancouver last week. Chris Mason brought to you here on 102.5 The Game by Coleman Tractor and Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. Pre-game tomorrow night at 6 o'clock right here on 102.5 The Game. Stay tuned. Mitch Light joins us. We'll hit college football. Big weekend. Penn State, Michigan. The whole Michigan cloud. And, of course, Tennessee at Missouri. That's a big one. Stay tuned. We're coming back.